All right, we just got delivered a little Nacogdoches meat pie. We got some sausage, some jambalaya here. Thank you, Brian, the store manager over here at Rouse's. And so we'll be digging into that. And Deuce, they brought some produce for us, both little fruits and veggies there.
Man, I don't have a problem with that. I'm okay. I mean, I see some carrots, some broccoli.
No, I can eat some broccoli, but Deuce, don't you got to dip it into something?
They got ranch over there for us,
yeah, Bob. Yeah, no, I'm all right. See, that I can eat broccoli, cauliflower and all, but I got to dip it in something.
Some carrots.
I love it. I'm a carrot fiend. Okay, broccoli, yeah, cauliflower, too. I'm gonna dig into all of that.
But you don't – do you dip it in it?
So you depends. I can eat carrots alone. I kind of fiend for carrots sometimes. Like, I don't know why. My mom told me, like, I always ate carrots. Like, the baby food formula that I used to do, or the baby food when I was actually baby food, it was always the carrot baby food. I don't know why. So, anyways, let's talk a little college football here. By the way, Maryland about to score again on Ohio State. That's Matt Canada's team. They're up 17-10 late second quarter there. LSU Rice coming later today. And, of course, Alabama right now playing the Citadel. Do you guys know how much you would have had to bet on Alabama today to win $100? How much do you think you would have had to bet on Alabama against the spread to win just $100?
Against the Citadel?
This is absurd.
Probably a couple of thousand more or – probably
way more.
Way really? More. Oh, way wow. Just
you would have had to bet. You would have had to bet $1 million
to win.
Straight up. I'm sorry. To win $100. Yeah. $1 million to win $100.
I'm joking.
Sure about
that's
this?
That's almost sure. A joke. Yep. Like,
man,
what?
Are you sure?
Straight up. Not against the spread. Straight up. Not against the spread.
Okay,
but yes.
Straight up. Straight up.
That's the odds of Alabama winning that game.
$1 million against Citadel.
Pretty incredible.
So Citadel going to take their payout and go on about their business.
They are. Now, LSU is a 43-point favorite today against Rice.
It was 44, they went to 43. But right now, I think what happened in the Arkansas game, fans don't have confidence that LSU is going to cover. They can win convincingly by 38 points a night cover.
I mean,
they should have covered against Arkansas last week.
Now, I'm here with Deuce. Now, don't get – see this outside. See what a nice day it is.
Yes.
Deuce here. Let's not get upset about LSU winning by 30 if that's what happens here. You know what I mean?
But they might not cover. So, that's why I would not bet on the Tigers with that kind of point spread.
Man, I'm with you there. I did.
Simply because, I mean, come on. Now, to me –
could be the worst team in college football they're playing.
You have to look at when a player is playing smart, and that being a running back when you have a chance – to score a touchdown, Deuce. I don't know if you're ever in a situation and then you go down.
Nah, I'm going to score.
Brossett should have scored. It wasn't like we're only going to be up by 7 or 8 points. That's different. Remember Todd Gurley when he went down? Because if they missed the extra point, Aaron Rodgers gets the ball back. They can score, make the two-point play. It's 8 points. But to go up double digits, come on, Brossett, you got to score. And win by 14.
Can I just mention something really quickly before we move on about that? Todd Gurley's going to have a chance to beat top LaDainian Tomlinson's NFL record for touchdowns. Tells you what a team player he is, because he could have scored there, padded those stats. But
he wasn't thinking about that LaDainian touchdown record.
He was thinking about winning that game against Green Bay.
He was thinking about winning. And, Bobby, since you said that, there is a time that goes back that I thought about it, and it was against the Atlanta Falcons. We scored too soon, but we had to score to be able to take the lead. Michael Vick, we left too much time on the clock for Michael Vick. He goes down the field and he beats us. But, you know, at that point, I'm
so
in
that
the
was
moment.
The time maybe you would have thought maybe not to score?
Yeah. To go down and get another shot. In hindsight. But at that moment, it wasn't, I mean, because we needed to score.
Right.
So it wasn't the thought process of, hey, look, if you get close, go down to run some more clock. We still needed to score to be able to win. The only problem was it was too much time on the clock. I mean, it was under 2 minutes or right at 2 minutes for Michael Vick and the Atlanta Falcons. They came down and they won.
Now, Deuce and Seth, see, I think when you look at the committee and now LSU being ranked seventh, and you might say, well, LSU is done. They got smoked by Alabama. They can get in the Final Four. They had two losses, and they got in the Final Two. So, in theory, who beats who, it does come into play.
Oh my gosh.
That's why last weekend I was cheering for Michigan State to beat Ohio State, Oklahoma State to beat Oklahoma. The reason why I bring it up now, because they don't watch every game. They kind of see the final score. You don't think the perception by only beating Arkansas 24-17 instead of 31-17 makes a difference? It just looks like
it's not supposed to.
Supposedly, but human nature.
Yeah.
To me, it just seems like that it does matter how you beat.
Now, you heard me say, oh, my gosh, there. I'm not oh, my goshing at you. I was going to get into this later, but let's get into it now.
Yeah.
This college football playoff system, there is not – and here I go again with this nice, beautiful day out here.
Right.
I guess
be
it's
Debbie Downer.
The
or?
But there is there's not anything – there's not anything that I dislike and despise in sports more, and I really mean this, than this college football playoff system. It's broke. It's a joke.
So do you want to have –
it only benefits the people at
it's
the top
about,
here.
It's about the money.
It is.
You want to have eight teams instead of four. I think if you have eight teams, you can get an undefeated team like Central Florida, give them a chance. It'd just be more intriguing to me. You can't say, oh, well, it takes away from their school and their, you know, more games. I mean, to me, it would not be that. It'd be more money for the NCAA and universities. Why not have an eight-team playoff?
Well, let me just put it for you this way. West Virginia and Washington State, because those aren't
right.
grand programs.
On the
there
board,
is
yeah.
zero chance in hell that they make that top four playoff. If there's any other one-loss team out there in any of the power conferences, they could be the better team. They could have the better resume. Ohio State's getting in first. Michigan's getting in first. Georgia's getting
Notre
in
Dame.
First. It's absurd. It is absolutely absurd. It's broke. And I can't believe we're sitting here in 2018 talking about this bad of a playoff
okay.
system in one of the biggest sports in this country.
When you look at the system, now, do you think this comes into play? And you bring up Washington
Money.
State.
Money.
Okay, but you bring up Washington State. Who was the other team? West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Okay, do you bring up, take into consideration, I should say, maybe because the Pac-12 or the Big 12 have been that down, that when you look at overall competition, come on, look at a traditional football powerhouse, look at USC. They basically a .500 team. You don't think that comes into play?
Here's what I will say, and I want to get Deuce's thoughts on this too, but here's what I will say. If you take the name, the team name, the school name off of this, and you put Michigan's resume, and the only losses to that Notre Dame team, but if you put their resume next to each other, Washington State has as many top 25 wins as those teams. West Virginia has as many top 25s and even more than some of those teams. It's because of the program name, guys. But Deuce, I agree with you here. It's about the money. My argument is, I don't think it should be about the money.
Well, it
not
shouldn't
today.
Be. I mean, but that's what it is. I mean, we agree 100% that it should not be about the money. I mean, there's no reason for UCF, an undefeated team for the last 2 years, to be left out of that conversation. So you're going to have UCF, Washington State, and more than likely
West Virginia.
But, I mean, they can play them with their self an outside shot in, depending on who loses up top. But – two really good teams aren't going to get in. And it's basically because of name recognition and then the conference that they play in.
Yeah, it seems like such a simple solution to me. And you want to talk about money. I think they'd make more money if they do it this way. It's so simple. Well, take the conference champions, that's five of them, and then get three at-larges.
Three at-large. Oh,
if you win your conference, you're in. Like, I don't understand why they don't do this.
Well, I don't know. It's common sense. A lot of times they don't have common sense.
It's the NCAA we're talking about.
But when you look at the one team, look, the ACC's down. You look even
– Clemson?
No, that's what I'm saying. The ACC's down, the Big 12, the Pac-12, even the Big 10. I mean, look, everybody's down except for the SEC and Clemson. When you look Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson.
You know, it's interesting. The top of the SEC is just as good as it's ever been, absolutely. But you could even say the bottom of the SEC is a little bit down. Like, there's not a lot of depth in
the
SEC.
There's not a lot of depth. There's not a lot of depth. But, I mean, that shows you where the other conferences have caught up as well. I mean,
that's why I'm not being a homer about this.
Aren't very good.
I'm not being a homer about this. LSU, depending on what could happen, what team would have more a legit opportunity to be in that Final Four? Who beats who? Then the LSU Tigers with two losses, considering
because they beat Georgia.
Yes,
they beat Georgia.
Exactly. Now the only reason LSU, Alabama got to beat Georgia SEC.
Well,
championship.
They got to beat it convincingly. It can't be a 3 point. A 3 point or a 7 point game.
They beat them conventionally. Then you go like, oh, well, LSU beat Georgia head to head. So
all right, great conversation here. We'll have more of it. We're getting ready for LSU Rice pregame show coming up at 1 o'clock. We are live at Rouse's. Out in Metairie at 2900 Vets, come say hi, and you can jump on in at 504-260-1870. Maryland has scored again, so it's 24-10. Matt Canada's Terps have a lead on Ohio
State.
Big
Ten is down. Ohio State, come on. I mean, they gave up 48 points
nice
to
job,
Purdue.
Bobby. Nice job. There we go. All right, back after this on WWL. Ohio State has scored, so that gets them within one score, 24-17. Maryland leads. Big football game there, especially in this college football playoff race that we're talking about here. Les Miles, guys. Les Miles is going to be at Kansas, as our buddy Ross Dellinger now of Sports Illustrated first to report that Kansas will offer him a contract. We kind of saw this coming, Deuce, because he accepted the buyout from LSU and
left $5 million on the table.
Well, he was going to get nothing, though, right?
Right. But I'm just saying, he left $5 million on the table, and the reason he took the 1.5 is because he was going to get nothing.
Yeah.
Once the new deal was announced from Kansas, so he at least took something from LSU. But here's the question now. So this is new money. This is $5 million that LSU had committed to Les Miles.
And what is his new contract, right, with Kansas?
Yeah, we don't know the details yet, but here's the thing. What does LSU do with this $5 million? Do they give 2.5 to Coach O and his staff? Does it go to other parts of athletics? What are they going to do with the new money that they get now, because they don't have to pay the buyout anymore to LSU? It was committed money, rather. I mean, but, you know, they were on the hook for $6.5 million.
Yeah, maybe they put it in the bank for all these future buyouts that are probably coming.
So
at some point.
Yeah.
So when I look at it, okay, if you're just a fan, if you're a normal citizen and you're out there and you're hoping one day maybe you can win the lottery in life, and, I mean, I'm talking about financial lottery. And how old is Coach Miles? I know he's in his 60s.
Yeah, he's like 65.
65. Okay, so he's 65 years of age. And now he's talking about he still wants to coach, or he wants to be an actor. I know one role he can definitely get the Riddler in Batman movies. He could be the Riddler without a doubt, because, you know, how he speaks, and we got to figure out what he's trying to say. Now, with that being said, I think that'd be a huge feather in his cap if he could turn Kansas Jayhawks football around. Now, it's not Kansas basketball, it's football. It's not Kansas State in Manhattan, Kansas. This is the Kansas Jayhawks in Lawrence to turn that program around. Now, that would be interesting if he could do that. Then you'd say the money invested. That's why I want to know what his contract is with the Kansas Jayhawks. Now, what I want to know is how many citizens would give up. If I'm 65, I can tell you right now, I'm not freaking hanging around here.
You're not going to go work.
I'm traveling the world. If I got $133,000 a month to do what and don't have to do anything but hobbies or travel the world, does Les Miles' wife want him out of the house?
He had to interview or at least show effort of trying to get a college job. Was one of the stipulations. Right.
Because, Deuce, when I saw this, the $1.5 million one-time lump sum, I understand that, but you're still leaving $5 million on the table. The original agreement would have paid Miles north of $9 million in monthly payments of more than $133,000 until 2023?
Yeah.
Man, you might say, hey, Barry, you think too much
Bobby,
about damn money. But I know if you want to do stuff, you need money.
Bobby, okay, so let's say his Kansas deal is for $15 million, and it's a five-year deal.
And he'd be like, yeah, it'd be and he wants to coach a passion that he has.
Yeah, I mean, he could coach to 70, and that deal is
going
to be guaranteed.
The thing is, if it's $15 million guaranteed, now that's a different animal.
It's going to be guaranteed.
Yeah, what's going to be guaranteed? Because what if all of a sudden is the same song and dance? Now, that's what I'm saying. I'd be thoroughly impressed if Les Miles turns around the Kansas program. You know why? Because nobody has.
How many losing seasons do you think they've had in the last 23?
Forever.
I know they had one, but 23. Eight games.
Let me put it this way.
They went to the Orange Bowl one time with that big fat guy. I can't think of his name.
Jared Lorenzo. Jared Lorenzo.
No,
that was Kentucky.
Yeah, you're talking about the quarterback's coach.
I'm trying to think.
He was before Charlie got there when they went to the Orange Bowl.
Went to the Orange Bowl. That was like maybe 1 year out of over two decades.
Well, you got it right. Last 23 years, Kansas has one winning season.
Yeah.
In 23 years.
So that's why if Les Miles, I props go out to him, if he can turn that program around, in the Big 12 because –
Puka Williams, baby.
Because put it this way, you know who we high on right now? And they go into the playoffs. The first game of this year, you know who beat Kansas? Nicholls State.
Nicholls State.
Yep.
Nicholls State went to Lawrence and beat Kansas.
You know what decade it was when they last won a conference championship?
Ralph. What's that guy's name? 1960s. Bobby.
1960s.
Ralph. Ralph was his first name. I can see
Friesian. No, that was the Maryland guy.
Yeah, that was
but,
Maryland.
But listen.
Low Kansas, expectations.
Hey, but Kansas has had one of the greatest running backs in pro football history. You know who went there? The Kansas Comet. You know who that is? Gale Sears.
Oh, Gale Sears.
Chicago Bears. Yeah. University of Kansas. Kansas
Comet. I never heard that nickname, the Kansas Comet.
Oh, yeah. Kansas Comet. Come on, said you're too young.
I didn't know that was Sears' nickname.
No, Kansas
man.
Comet. Gale Sears, you know who I played against the stud for Kansas? Dana Stubblefield with the 49ers.
Now, you really want to know why Les went to Kansas? The grass is real nice.
Million?
No, the grass is real nice, man.
Oh, chew the
tastes
grass?
Good. Yeah, so it tastes real good up there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, preview a little LSU Rice, more college football playoff talk. Now, they got all your Thanksgiving stuff here at 2900 Vets at the Rouses, but if you're here watching football this weekend, you can get some of these party trays. They got your fried boudin tray. Got some egg rolls on there for $22. You got a Hawaiian sandwich tray for $19. And they just brought out these Natchitoches meat pies, which are unbelievable.
That's your tailgate. Get your tailgate ready, right?
Oh, man.
Later on for tonight's game, the Tigers, and then tomorrow it's 3:30. So you can wake up, you know, kind of sleep in for at least an hour or two and still get your tailgate going.
Hey, do it all again.
Deuce, do you love – because I know Sean Payton does, that 3:30 kickoff instead of, you know, 3-ish kickoff instead of that 12 noon.
I like 3 or 7.
Okay, yes, because let me tell you, you know, because you kind of rushed in the morning, and I'm not even dealing with LSU. I just think our society, and that I'm talking about South Louisiana, Gulf South, Gulf Coast, the Houdat Nation, we like those later kickoffs because we are prime timer now. I just think they're louder.
You know who likes the late kickoff?
You know, they're louder from the get-go versus, okay, everybody's finally in their seat and it's the middle of the second quarter.
Wait, we just got to point this out. I haven't even paid attention to the Alabama game. Okay, this is a little incredible.
Tied at the half, wasn't it?
It's in the third quarter now. I don't know what I'm watching here. This is like an alternate universe. It's Alabama 10, Citadel 10. You want to talk about the upset all upsets?
They were tied. Two of us played, so wait, LSU. I mean, but wait, Bama hadn't.
10-10.
They were tied at halftime.
Deuce, you're saying two of us played?
Yeah.
See, because I would think like two are Jalen Hurts.
They were trying to.
Like the third guy's playing.
Bobby, you're trying to come up with scenarios
Matt
for LSU
Jones
to make the
whatever.
Playoff. Have Citadel beat the Alabama.
Yes.
Then it might happen.
Well, they would have to lose to Citadel, Auburn, and Georgia.
Alabama's not making that playoff if they lose to the Citadel. You kidding me? You have all these other one-loss teams? I don't care what you do.
They're going to have one. If they have one loss, they still get in.
If it's to the Citadel?
And you are going to explode because your Washington State Cougars will not get in. Yes.
If they get in losing to the Citadel, I will explode.
Yeah,
my head would explode. Now, speaking of Washington State, we got a little Mississippi mustache talk here because I want to talk about this Heisman race. It's Tua, right? Who's your Heisman favorite right now? It's got to be Tua. Kyler Murray in there. You got Gardner Minshew, the Mississippi mustache. Where did he go to school, Deuce? We were talking about
Brandon.
This.
Brandon Mississippi. Did not have an offer for any of the big three, and that's Mississippi State, Ole Miss, or Southern. Signed with Troy. Troy fired their coach. Ends up at Northwest, Mississippi, and Senatobia. Comes out. Still does not get an offer from the big three. Ends up at East Carolina with Scotty. Scotty Montgomery. Finishes there. And
he's going to go to Alabama, right?
He's going to Alabama. But since Jalen Hurts was not going to transfer because he wants to get into coach.
Sure. Yeah.
So his family is coaches as well. His cousin, which and this is how small of a world is, his cousin, first cousin, was one of my high school coaches.
Really?
Was one of my high school coaches. And his sister, and see, this is when you know you got too much going. His sister is a volleyball player. His sister's a volleyball player at Mississippi State.
Wow.
So he was his family's big Mississippi State. He was really crushed when he didn't get an offer. Mm-hmm. From Coach Mullen, from Coach Mullen, et cetera. So he goes, doesn't end up going to Alabama because Jalen Hurts decides to stay. Commits to Washington State, excuse me.
Thank you for that correction,
by the way. Commits to Washington State. Washington State is on the quarters system, correct?
Yes.
So, once he
– No, we're on semester system, unless they changed it.
No, you're on quarters because it's you're on quarter. Trust me. He could not.
I mean, I went there. I didn't.
Yeah, you weren't paying attention. You were just going.
I guess not.
Yeah, you weren't paying attention. Long story short, this offseason, he was not able to go to spring practice with the team. They had already started school, and it's because of the system that they're on.
Okay.
So, committed to him, he worked out with Hal Mummy at Jackson State.
Man, you got all the connections here.
Just keep going. I'm just like Bobby. So no, he works out with Hal Mummy. He learns this air raid offense with Hal Mummy. Well, Hal Mummy got fired at Jackson State, but by that time he goes summer school and he gets the job at Washington State. Falls in love there. His family has rarely seen him play out at Washington State. His dad goes, but you know, obviously they have a fairly talented backstory as far as other family members, but it's been really impressive to watch him just have fun and be able to really be successful out, you know, just and pull him, and then to be able to do what he's doing. I mean, because literally he never thought that he would have a shot, and I think he does have a shot now NFL-wise. He wanted to just go straight into coaching, and that was one of the reasons he was looking at going to Alabama. You know, you get on that line, that lineage of being, you know, Saban's assistant.
Yep.
It opens so many other doors. But, I mean, he can naturally play quarterback, and he's done an outstanding job.
Yeah, that's just
good stuff. And that's the story, Bobby, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. That's good stuff. Do you guys see him? We're talking about Gardner Minshew, quarterback
Minshew
here. They call him the Mississippi Mustache because he's bringing the mustache back. So you see him pin the mustache on Mike Leach last week during the interview.
He looks like a 70s porn star. I mean, is that true? I mean, you know, I used to have that, you know.
It's kind of true, actually.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that one yet, but that's kind of true, Bobby.
Yeah,
it's
kind of like, but hey, listen, your team has to win for you to win the Heisman. Obviously, you got to put up the numbers. But you know what hinders him more than anything? Because he's in Pullman, Washington.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, listen,
West Coast
and that system too, right? That's a stigma.
But I'm not. Listen.
No, you're speaking to the choir here. I know this. Yeah.
Pullman's the middle
of nowhere.
It's not like Seattle University of Washington Huskies are in Seattle. The recognition, you know, you look like anything Seattle or Portland, like Oregon State.
Bobby, we got to go to break.
But you're not going to get that attention, right?
No.
What do you think about it? And it's so you even look way back at Drew Bledsoe. You look at Drew Bledsoe. You look at Ryan Leaf. I mean, they've had unbelievable – Mark Rippon.
Mark Rippon, with the Redskins.
So Washington
Jack
State –
Jack Thompson.
Throwing Samoan. The Washington State has had outstanding quarterbacks.
Ruben Mays.
Yeah, going on. Yeah, all-pro Pro Bowl
running back.
No. So you're talking about excellent skill position that you've seen like for 40 years that I know that I've witnessed.
Alabama has scored 17-10 there. And then also Maryland, Ohio State does not score in a goal-to-go situation at the end of the half, 24-17 Maryland against Ohio State at halftime. We'll take a break. Back after this, a special edition of Sports Talk on WWL. We're live at our houses for another 10 minutes. Come on down. Also, be sure you get your Thanksgiving shopping done here. Alabama scored again, a fumble recovery for a touchdown, so a little breathing room on the Citadel, something I never
really
thought I'd actually say.
Yeah, did you really think
no.
the Citadel was going to – I mean, Alabama was sleepwalking and, you know, really just going through the motion, and now you see the real Alabama, and they'll probably – I don't know what spread is in that game, but it'll still end up ugly.
So wait, this is before half?
It was
third quarter.
Oh, I'd like to hear like Saban to finally do a speech at halftime. What was it?
I'd like to be a fly on the wall on that one.
10 at half? Oh, no, just to give him something.
He wants something to fuss about.
Yeah, something to tell the team.
True that. So. You know, we were talking about Gardner Minshew here, but it's interesting. LSU, I think they have a legitimate shot here to go to a bowl that they've never been to, and that's the Rose Bowl. And here's the scenario.
That would be awesome.
And I think most LSU fans that I've talked to said they would love it if Michigan makes that playoff and Ohio State is out of it. That means the Rose Bowl gets an at-large team. And I think they'd love to have this fan base over there. Are you kidding me?
Do you think LSU fans would love to go to the Rose Bowl?
It'd be incredible.
The LA media would love Coach O. They loved him when he was at USC. And look where USC's at right now. They're a 500 team getting ready to fire their coach. The USC Trojans would love to have Coach O back. And how, and listen, I went to some alumni meetings with him, and it was amazing how they embraced him. They loved Coach O. They never said Coach O's wrong. It was all about Coach O. And that to go back to Los Angeles and play in the Rose Bowl, that would be LSU. Look, the granddaddy of all bowls, not the orange sugar cotton. It is the Rose Bowl, number one, the granddaddy. For LSU to play, whether it be Washington State, I think that would be very entertaining. I know you'd be in that number set.
I'd be there.
If that would occur. But, no, it makes somewhat sense that the background with Coach O and LSU give an opportunity to play in Pasadena.
Yeah, I know you got some California roots here, or at least connections. You guys ever been out to the Rose Bowl out there in Pasadena? Not the actual game.
It's really like a traditional old school big bowl.
Yeah.
You know, when you're talking about 100,000, it's not like different levels. It's just like a big bowl. Kind of like when you go to the Big House in University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. You don't realize, I can remember when Anthony Carter, the Detroit Lions, kicked us out of their facilities in 1983 when I was in the USFL Michigan Panthers. When Anthony Carter had so much stroke with Bo Schembechler, said, I'm going to call Bo. We can go practice University of Michigan. In Ann Arbor, from Detroit, from Pontiac, and all, it's about like here to Mandeville, so 30 miles away. So we went to Ann Arbor, and I'm pulling up to the Big House. Always heard about the Big House. I go, man, the stadium don't look that big, but it's sunken into the ground.
It's underneath.
Half of the stadium is underneath. In the ground. It's when you go on the field and you do a 360. It's like, whoa. I can see why. I can see why it's 110,000 people. So you got the Rose Bowl, very similar to the Big House, but it's elevated above the ground. So, yeah, the one of the historic stadiums in Pasadena being the Rose Bowl. I have no problem. Listen, I would kind of rather.
The pageantry around it's really cool. The parade. Yeah, one of my favorite sporting experiences ever was
parade,
going there a long time ago,
early in the morning,
college,
New Year's Day. Who didn't watch the Rose Bowl parade as a kid? Even the females, your mom would. You watch the Rose Bowl parade. It's amazing what they do with roses to make floats.
What's
I mean,
the favorite stadium you played in? Other than the home stadiums you played in, what's that way we don't get in any
college
trouble
here. Or pro?
College. Let's say in college.
I mean, any stadium for me, college, it was grass. I loved playing, you know, I thought Auburn, Jordan-Hare was a really nice stadium. I loved playing there. And then even up at Tennessee was a nice stadium.
Neyland Stadium. When you're talking about in the Deep South as far as capacity, then you rub with the Big House. You're talking about 100,000 plus.
Yeah, this
before
was,
when everybody's trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, this was before a lot of the expansion. This one, it was actually the largest at the time. It was 102, 105, and then Michigan State when it expanded, and you know LSU and everybody else started expanding. But I liked those were two probably that I enjoyed. And, you know, it's just a history with LSU. I love playing in Tiger Stadium.
You know where I want to go? I've never been to the other Death Valley. I want to go up to Penn State.
Clemson?
Penn State.
Penn State. Yeah.
Is Penn State called Death Valley? I didn't even know that. I thought
Happy
it was
Valley,
Clemson.
Happy Valley.
Come on, you got the wrong valley.
Yeah, Happy Valley.
No, the other Death Valley, Clemson. Yeah,
Clemson is the other Death Valley.
But you know what? You know what I enjoyed the most college atmosphere, even though I never played in that atmosphere at Natchitoches? Was
you gotta cut him off.
Would be Arrowhead Stadium and the Chiefs.
Oh yeah.
Now that to me, I said this would be like
that was a college atmosphere,
Oklahoma Nebraska type game.
All right, wrapping up the show after this on WWL. Seth Dunlap, Deuce McAllister, Bobby Hebert, wrapping things up. Thanks to Dave Potter. Thanks to Joey Falgu back in the studio. Thanks to Rouse's out here for hosting us and everybody who swung by. A lot of fun today, guys. Saints Eagles predictions for tomorrow. Deuce, we'll start with you.
I am in the neighborhood of 35 to 38 points, giving up 21 to 24 points. Saints win.
Bobby?
That would be a dominant win. You look at your Islanders plus two in the turnover margin going forward. In that area, the team needs to keep trending on the plus side. I'm going to look at the Saints. I don't know if they're going to cover, but they're going to win by a touchdown. I'm going to go with 30 to 23 Saints.
All right. That's Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister. I'm Seth Dunlap. We are handing it off to the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, getting you set for LSU and Rice.